It won't be long until youth will be bigger than the Wednesday service.
Yeah.
But don't forget to pray for the main service too. No. Real quick, Saturday, September 25th, 2 p.m. to 7 p.m., at the Prescott Skate Park, 799 East Willis Street, Prescott, Arizona. They're going to be having outreach. This says right here, Richie, it says SG3 Ministries presents Arizona Skate Park Outreach. And there's going to be, I don't want to get the name, Rags to Righteousness.
Rags to Righteousness, Adonis Falls.
Yeah.
And regular for...
Now, they have flyers here that anybody can get, or are you saving those flyers? Okay. So invite people. It's even the Manses. You've been at some of the outreaches there to support, and it's fun, isn't it? Yeah. Yes. That's going to be awesome. So last Thursday, had 30 kids here were saved. Amen? While I'm on that note, David Albus and Michelle Albus, can you stand up, David? He has, during the transition from Pastor Lee to where I was the lead pastor, Pastor Lee's still a founding pastor. Right now he's back in Georgia. So he's still with us. Still talk to that dear man a lot, full of wisdom, love him, still part of our church, but now being the lead pastor. But during that transition, David Albus really helped me out in a lot of key ways with the youth, and I want to say thank you. And he's going to be like my utility man. He's going to be like I was, I think, with Pastor Lee, working in the sound booth, cleaning the church, do-da-da-da-da. Hey. And so I appreciate it and him and Michelle have stepped down from the youth, and Richie and Chamonix Betancourt have taken over the youth as our youth leaders. So keep them in your prayers. They have a heart for our young people. And to step in that position, you've got to have a heart. And you got to be a little bit crazy, by the way. In a good way. So, David, thank you for everything you've done for me. I appreciate it. So get one of these flyers. Invite people that will love. Even adults. It's going to be fun. Watching people skateboard, it can be fun. Right? Yeah. It's going to be a big deal. It really is. There's going to be a lot of people there. Keep that in prayer because, you know, prayer paves the way. I said prayer paves the way. So if the Spirit of God's not there, that all it is just a show. But the Spirit of God is going to be there, right? I'm going to let the youth go here in just a second. Can I have that flyaway is there a date there? November 5th, 7 p.m. at the Mile High Middle School, free admission. Donations will be received benefiting survivors of human trafficking. Did you know human trafficking in this nation is a huge deal? It's in our own backyards. I've talked to people that have been involved in that ministry. You'd be shocked, the people that are modern-day slavery. People kidnapped. People that are high risk being put into sex trafficking. It's awful. So Lisa Mitz and Brandon B. Lisa Mitz, I've talked to her. She's got a powerful testimony in herself. So keep this in mind that you can be there. We can support it. I don't know them very well. I'm getting to know them. I don't know them, but in talking to her and her, what God has done in her life, it's pretty amazing. So we're looking forward to getting to know them. They're new to our area. Keep them in prayer. Keep that. We'll remind you as time goes on as we approach November 5th that maybe we can be there and support them. Amen. Amen. Before I release the youth, I just want to say, who was at the praise in the park? Wasn't that awesome? I really enjoyed it. And I was so proud of our worship team. Hey, this was the first year we've been involved in it. And we're going to be involved in it from now on. But those ladies harmonizing was just amazing. Lord, thank you for bringing people here, guys, men, for the worship team. Instruments. Thank you for growing this, Father God. Lord, I want the people to come that felt like they were disqualified. That I have some abilities and giftings from God, but somehow they're disqualified. I believe this is a church that's calling people that love the Lord, but have been, I know it by the Spirit, that but have been on the sidelines saying, I've blown it, or gosh, I used to be called, or God could have done something for me, but because of circumstances or things that have happened in their life, they have now just disqualified themselves through the lies of Satan. So, Father, we thank you for calling those people in by the droves for his glory, for his glory. Do you agree with that? Amen and amen. So thank you once again for that worship team. I just was so proud of our church. We are going to release the youth right now. They're going to be love them. Amen. Lord, bless them. Strengthen them. Increase them. Multiply them. What else can I use? Grow them. Stretch them. Impact them. Fill them, empower them, go on and on. Amen? Just love the youth. Amen. Amen and amen. So I think that's it for all our advertisements. Or I shouldn't say advertisements, but amen. Release the youth. Amen. So as I get going, this is going to be part eight in the final week of our eight-week series on King David. I've really enjoyed it, King David. And a type of Christ, and a type of grace. And we're going to talk about being redeemed this morning and how God spoke that to David in the Old Testament. I'm looking forward to it. But I saw this. Someone gave this to me. I'm going to read it because I don't know who it belongs to. But I love little things like this. It was left on a chair. So I have no idea who it is. Not trying to call anybody out or embarrass anybody at all, but I love it. So I'm just going to read it. If you don't want me to read it, don't leave it on the chair. I am so grateful for God and this church. I was broken the first time I came here. He is already moving so clearly in my life. I give this pain to you, Lord. When I am not strong enough to carry this burden, I feel you lift it from me. I see miracles happening all around me, and I know that whatever I go through, it is for your good purpose. He's bringing us through it, whatever. Please continue to increase your own strength while you allow me to borrow yours. I love that because, see, God heals people. Outside, the inside. That's what he does. It's not that you're going to be healed someday, that someday you're going to obtain it. If you know what the Lord wants to do in you now, it's yours now. It is yours right now. His power working through you and I. His power working through you and I today. His power doing things that we never imagined, because it says he will do far above anything we could dream or imagine. King David understood that. I'm going to start 1 Kings 28 through 30. 1 Kings, my last week. Then King David responded and said, well, let me just say this. He's going to place Solomon as on the throne. At this time, David is very well advanced in years. He's getting ready to pass on. He's getting ready to die. And so he's going to place Solomon on the king as king after him on the throne. Then King David responded and said, summon Bathsheba to me. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. Then the king vowed and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress. Certainly, as I vowed to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, your son Solomon certainly shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. I will indeed do so this day. And so he's instituting, placing Solomon. But the thing I want to focus on today that I feel like the Lord wants us to focus on is this thing that King David said that really wasn't going to be accessible are possible until the new covenant. But King David was seeing things prophetically and seeing things that pertain to Jesus Christ long before it ever happened, 1,000 years before Christ ever showed up on the scene. And he says this in the middle of that, or towards the end of verse 28, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress. Redeemed. You think about it, that time is you had to follow the law. There was no redemption outside of you had to follow the law. The details. You had to, line upon line, you were justified not by faith, but by the law. So him speaking this, that the Lord had redeemed me from every distress, really is a foreshadow of what Christ has done today. Because you see, King David could have said in this passage, he could have said, the Lord has delivered me from all my distress, and that would have been a true statement. David could have said, the Lord has been my protector through all of my distresses, and that would be a true statement. David could have said, hey, the Lord has helped me in all my distresses, and that is a true statement today, amen? He could have said, the Lord remained by my side through every distress and delivered me, but he didn't say that. What he said is, the Lord has redeemed my life from all distresses. Wow. Distress there in the Hebrew means the all trouble, all adversary, all adversity, all affliction, all anguish, all tribulation, all trouble is what this is talking about in distress. He's saying the Lord has redeemed me from some of my distresses, a portion of them, a percentage of them, the ones I deserved, the ones that I fought for, the ones that I please the Lord in. No, he says the Lord delivered me from all my distresses. And if you've been here or have heard the series that as we've gone along, even in that distress and his failure with Bathsheba, we talked about that, his covering that up. And my gosh, I mean, it didn't get much worse than what he tried to do there. But still, David, understanding by the Holy Spirit, says he's redeemed me from all my distresses. Amen. You know, delivering or freedom or wholeness or peace, you know, today there's many imposters. I get, you know, if you've been on email and you get these imposter emails saying, hey, you need to log into Wells Fargo and change your password. But I don't have an account at Wells Fargo. You need to give us this information. People always trying to be imposters. We're in a generation where there's many, many imposters. Would you agree with that? People pretending to be somebody that they're not, an imposter. You know, there's many, many voices out there that sound good, but they're imposters. Maybe not on purpose, but maybe by deception. I was looking at one of the best-selling books right now, a best-selling book. It was talking about letting go. It's a top-selling book, and I was just reading a little bit of it, explaining what this book is, and it said, explains why we should let go and how we can do it, using proven techniques to make things happen. The stages of letting go: be present and enjoy each moment. That sounds good, right? I mean, that does sound good. We want to be present in each moment. Let go of the thoughts that keep you stuck. I agree wholeheartedly. Let go of the pain that runs your life. Man, I agree with that. But then it says surrender and tune in to something far more intelligent than your brain. And see, that's where the imposter comes in, because it says tune into something. Tune into whatever you might find that can give you some kind of relief in life, that can help you to have coping mechanisms. See, today the world, all they can offer are coping mechanisms. And any faith that would preach coping mechanisms is not the gospel. See, I love saying this, and I'll say it maybe every week. God has not called us to cope. He has called us to conquer. Amen? But there's many, many imposters out there. You need to tune into something. But the problem is that it never brings freedom. It never brings peace. What it does is it gets you to put a formula together and start working steps that somehow you can manage your stress. Somehow, maybe you can find that secret recipe. And I'm not talking about the recipe you're going to put in the back box. But mind you, can find a secret recipe that you can manage what your struggle is. It's just like this nation. There's no secret recipe to heal the ills of this nation. It'll only be Jesus Christ. As we stand for him in truth, there's many imposters in this nation that want to tell us that this or this will bring peace. Only Jesus Christ will bring peace, amen? Many imposters. The world tries to offer answers to what ills mankind. So John, do you have that debt clock up there? Is it running? It's not running, is it? No, there it goes. You see our national debt? I won't depress you very long. See that upper left, there's our U.S. national debt. Look how quickly the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Just $100,000 more every couple, second and a half, amen? It's a debt we'll never could possibly pay off. It won't, is it? There's no way that we could ever pay off that debt. Never at all. Thank you, John. Even if they tried. Even if it's tried. You know, you and I, before we found Christ, or if you don't know Christ, we have a debt we can never pay. We're born in sin. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. If you don't think that, and I've said this before, you don't think that people aren't born in sin, just hang around a two-year-old. Are they perfect? Are they selfish? Is it mine? And I'll hit you if you don't give it to me. Do I believe in cavemen? Yes, they're 2 years old. So you can see there's a problem when people are born. They got to be trained. Behavior modification. Amen. You can have. Behavior modification, but it never changes the root cause, sin. Amen? So one of those things I just read, could this be one of those scriptures referencing the work of the future cross when David was talking about being redeemed? I want to talk a little bit today about being redeemed. Regardless if you've been born again or loved Jesus for a lifetime, or if you don't know the Lord this morning, let me talk about redemption. It's a good reminder of what the power of redemption is. The power of redemption. Could this be pointing to cross what David said about be redeemed? Well, I look at John 5, 46, 47, and some of the things that Jesus said. You examine the scriptures. He's talking to the religious leaders at that time. You examine the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is those very scriptures that testify about me. You can read the Bible all you want, but if it doesn't lead to the power of God, it's of no avail. It'll be just a formula. It'll just be a set of ideals that can be added to your life that you can do better. If the scriptures are just something that to make you a good person, that is not what the scriptures were designed to be. Jesus says, you look into the law, you look into the scriptures, but you don't realize that they speak of me. They testify about me. Even also in John 5, 46 and 47, it says, for if you believe Moses, you would believe me. This is Jesus speaking again. For he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So even Jesus, or even Moses speaking about the coming Messiah, the anointed one, he who was and is to come, the Ancient of Days, Moses talking about Jesus coming to the earth. Amen. And even Jesus on the road to Emmaus, after he had died, he had not gone back to the Father. He didn't reveal who he was, that was hidden, but he was walking with a couple of guys who were saying, man, we thought this was Jesus. This Jesus was the Messiah. We thought he was going to be the salvation of Israel, and he's died. What do we do now? And so Jesus comes alongside of them in Luke 24, 26 and 27. It says, Jesus is talking to these guys, and he says, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to come into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things written about himself in the scriptures, amen? So throughout, as I've mentioned before, throughout the scriptures, Jesus, all of it, the Old Testament pointing to the cross. I was talking to a couple of Jewish Christians. I found it interesting. They're Jewish people. They're believers now. And they said, we find it funny that people that know Christ want to be like us. They want to be Jewish. But he says, we want to just be like Christ. We've come out of that. We realize that's just a foreshadow of what Jesus did for us. Everything that we need or anything in our life we need was accomplished in Christ. I found that statement. They said, everybody wants to be like us, but we just want to be like Jesus. God has provided everything for us. Amen. In the Old Testament, talking and speaking of you and I. Amen. Amen and amen. So this word redeemed, what's that mean? You know the word redeemed, amen? In the Hebrew, it's pada, to sever. We're talking about what David was saying. To sever, to ransom, to release, to persevere, to the deliver, to rescue. He says he rescued me and delivered me from all my distresses and trouble. But it just doesn't mean that when we talk about redeemed. It's not just saying, thank you, Lord, for rescuing me. Thank you for getting me out of that tight spot. Thanks for helping me during that difficult time. Lord, thank you for redeeming me. Redeeming means so much more. Amen. Lord, let us today understand or be reminded of what redemption means, of what your redeeming power means for you and I. If you know him as your Savior, you've been redeemed. That's a powerful word. It's a powerful truth. When we understand that, there's nothing that can hold us back, because it is only by redemption. It is only by redemption that we can walk with him, that we can be victorious in him. Psalms 137 and 8 prophesies also, as we move through this, of redemption. It says, Israel, wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant what? Redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his guilty deeds. You and I today, spiritually being a part of Israel, you know, it says wait for it. Maybe today you've been waiting for an understanding of his redemption. Today, maybe you've been waiting to understand, God, what are you about? Lord, show me more of yourself. I get confused about what this walking with Christ is. Today could be that day for you that you've been waiting. There's an appointed day that God would reveal his goodness to you. There's an appointed time where God would reveal his redemption to you, where your life is never the same. Amen? Redemption. What a wonderful, wonderful word, redemption. It says, wait for the Lord, the timing of the Lord. That timing, I pray for, will be today for some people. Today. See, there's at least three words in the Bible which are translated redeem. One means to buy or purchase. The concept is the purchase of a slave. He is bought and he's owned as a property. Christ redeemed us in this sense that we belong to him. You were a slave. I was a slave to sin before we found Christ. That's the way it is. We didn't know him. We didn't know him at all. We were actually enemies of Jesus because of our thinking. Because we were born of this world, but he is born from above. So when we accept him as our Savior, we're born again. We're now part of him. But when we're born of this world, we're actually an enemy of the cross. We are a slave. It reminds me of the story of, and you know the story of Joseph, how he was sold into slavery. And supernaturally, he was redeemed from prison at just the right time. You remember his brother sold him into slavery. He said, I have this dream that you guys are going to... I mean, he probably wasn't smart to say this, but he was young. I had a dream, and you guys were bound down to me. And his brother said, we don't like you already, because you're daddy's favorite. And so they sold him into slavery. He was in Potiphar's house, and he excelled, but he was still in slavery. Then he was in jail with, and remember, he had a dream. There was a cupbearer and a baker. Thank you. And he had a supernatural dream. I said, he had a supernatural dream. And he said, hey, don't forget me when you get out. So he had this dream, and was it the baker that lived? Was it the cupbearer? Oh, I was hoping it was the baker. But if it was, I'm just kidding. Well, through this dream, the baker died. The cupbearer was spared. But he forgot about Joseph. And then just at the right time, Pharaoh had a dream. And then he said, oh, I remember this Hebrew in prison. He had this dream. We had this dream, and he interpreted it, and it was correct. And so what happened? You know the rest of the story. Pharaoh called him out. He interpreted this dream, and he went from prison to number two man. Did he do that by his own wisdom? Did he do that by anything on his own merit? It was the power of God. And I'm telling you right now, for God to work in us, to do the work that he wants to do in us, it's not going to be by our own wisdom. It's not going to be by our own strength, but it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. At just the right time, he was released from prison, put into second position at just the right time, supernaturally. It happened to Daniel, remember? If you know the book of Daniel, he had a dream, he interpreted a dream. And it got him to elevate it in the kingdom, but it was done supernaturally, and it was done just at the right time. God, today could be just the right time where God wants to reveal or remind you of what redemption is. Romans 5:6 says, for while we were still helpless, while you and I were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. There's a time for everything. From the time the law was instituted, Moses and all the prophets, and they were sold into slavery, and there was really no more Jerusalem. The years that went by, the decades, the centuries, and just at the right time, Christ showed up on the scene. And for you and I, walking with God, or a revelation of Christ, at just the right time, God is revealing himself to you and I afresh and anew. Today, let redemption, the understanding of being redeemed, be revealed to you by the Spirit of God. Another word translated redeem means to buy something from something for another purpose. Again, we are purchased by Christ from the bondage of sin for the purpose of freedom in him. You and I have been born again, repurposed, brand new, born again in him. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, 21, I love these scriptures. Not just purchased, but made new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a what? If anyone, are you an anyone? If anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. And I love this scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Did you know if you know him that you're not to be sin conscience but righteousness conscience? You're not an old sinner saved by grace. You're born again, blood washed, spirit filled, tongue talking, testifying, power filled believer. So when the devil comes against you, remind you of your shortcomings. Remind him, as you know, of his future. Remind him that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and he can go right back to hell. If we're sin conscious, then we start debating. Well, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to quit doing this behavior? Or what do I need to do to get better? And it's a vicious circle. It'll never get better. Because the power of sin is if you're trying to fight sin on your own strength, you'll never get there. But you realize that when you're born again, that you are the righteousness of Christ, of God, through Christ. You now can say, no, I'm squeaky clean in him. Now, do you have struggles? I couldn't put that in my mind for the longest time. Yes, but it says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue therein? Romans, you know what? When you're born again, we consider ourselves dead to sin. Not alive unto sin, not identifying with sin. We identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. For I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Be conscious of your righteousness in him. That is the key to victory over the imposter Satan. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You belong to Him. Amen? Amen. The third word carries the idea of a purchase that pays off a debt. A price is necessary to secure the freedom of someone or something. Christ paid our debt. Remind yourself, He paid the debt. You can't pay that debt. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, Paul says. Only He can pay your debt, amen? Only He can make you squeaky clean. Only He can put you in right standing with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:14 and 15, I love this scripture as well. Having canceled the certificate of what? A debt. You were born with a certificate of debt. You were born alienated from God. It didn't start when you were 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years old. We were born in a deficit. We were born needing a Savior. We were born already being in trouble. We were born alienated from God. If that's not the case, then why would Jesus have to come and die? Amen? Why would Jesus have to come and die if we weren't born alienated? Having canceled the certificate of debt. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Church. Having canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, the law, those things that are perfect, which was hostile to us, trying to follow rules and regulations, and God, it'll just be hostile. You can't do it. You can't do it in yourself. How do you measure whether you're doing good enough or not? Do you measure yourself against who? The Pope? Measure yourself against your pastor? Better not. Because I'll fail you. No, He canceled the certificate of death consisting of degrees against us, the law, which was hostile to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. He took that certificate. It said, it's paid in full with blood. But the blood of the Lamb, He who's fulfilled the law 100%, He who underwent every trial and temptation you and I could ever imagine, yet did not even sin once. He who was tempted like Adam and Eve by Satan, but said, nope, you're not tricking me. Mm-mm. I'm not falling for any of that. So knowing that He had a purpose all the way to the end, that purpose was it just to... He went around doing miracles. That's awesome. That shows us what God does. But He had a goal, man. I am going to lay my life down, not for just Israel, but for the world. That certificate of debt has been nailed to the cross. Has been nailed to the cross. Do you see that? Is that certificate of sin against you nailed to the cross? There's nothing you can do to make yourself right. There's nothing you could do to make yourself pleasing to God, but purely by understanding what that debt, that certificate of debt is, and what the cross means in satisfying God's wrath against you and I. He said, no, God's wrath against sin. He's holy. He's perfect. You know, it says in Colossians 3 that you and I are, I'm going off track a little bit, that we're seated with Him in heavenly places. How can we be seated with Him in heavenly places if we're still considered sinful in His sight? Remember in Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet, the great prophet, was in His presence, and he said, woe is me. What am I doing here? Woe is me. I don't belong here. Get me out of here. But how about you? This is different. You and I, because of the finished work of the cross, we're not just... By the Spirit of God that lives in us, we're not only with Him, we're seated with Him in heavenly places. Seated with Him. How can that be if you're still a filthy animal? Or you're full of sin? Or you're still trying to work for His approval? How could that be? No, it's only because the certificate of debt has been paid in full. Hallelujah! This redemption, this power, this new life that we're living now. But how? You know what? It's by faith. Let me explain it this way. Did you know faith is a noun? How do you know? How do I know? Now faith is this is Hebrews 11:1-2. Now faith is the substance. Substance. The noun is the faith. It's a noun, a person, place, or thing. It's a thing that we have. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. for by it the elders obtained a good report. Romans 12:3 says this, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Sometimes I've realized through my own life and other people, we have a measure of faith, but sometimes it gets buried. Hardness of heart, my pride, my not even looking at it or not even pursuing my faith. But I'm telling you right now, if you're here, regardless if you ever accept Christ Jesus as your Savior, there's a measure of faith that was given to you. And He wants you to discover that. He wants to discover that faith that He made you for a purpose. And so by faith, that's how we discover this, what we're talking about, this redemption. Number one is faith. That those who believe God and believe that He's a rewarder of those. He's a rewarder of those who believe Him and pursue Him, that love Him. Your faith. Your faith is not an action. It's something that's within you. You can't see it, but God placed it there. It's a substance. It's real. It's powerful. I've said it's a noun, and I'll tell you why as we move on here as to why I'm saying it's a noun. And then redeemed. If you put your faith in Him, how do we become redeemed? Is it by believing? By putting our trust and faith in Him? See, redeemed, being redeemed is a verb. It's an action. You put your faith in Him, and He takes the action. See, we get it backwards that we've got to do all this action to please Him. No, we put our trust in Him by faith, and His redemption becomes a verb. He takes the action on behalf of you and I. So what's this redeem mean? Let me just go through this quickly. It says redeemed means to purchase. You've been purchased if you know Him. To get or win back. To free from distresses or harms. To free from captivity by payment of a ransom. He paid of a ransom in His blood, amen? To extradite from or help to overcome something detrimental. This is what redemption means. To release from the blame or debt. You know, when we die, there's a debt call saying, who paid for your sin? You can't say my good behavior. We can't say, I have the faith of my parents. I have the faith of my grandparents. But simply by putting trust of what He placed in you, that measure of faith in you, saying, Lord, I will trust You, that He goes into action with His redemption, removing the debt of sin. Hallelujah. The 11 today. To free from the consequences of sin. Hallelujah, that He frees us from the consequences of sin. Aren't you glad? Many times there'll be things that we've sown through our life, and you look at it and say, ay, 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 what am I going to do there? I'm sowing these little seeds of loving Him. We want to sow seed. We're giving at church. We're helping, and we're sowing the seed, and we already see this crop of stuff that we've done that's not right. Did you know He redeems us even from that? He can wipe that crop out. There may be things that take a while as you walk with Him and serve Him and grow in Him. What you see is all the stuff that's been a consequences of your own. He has a way of removing those things. He has a way of making those no longer a part of your life, called regret. It's called those things that the enemy will try to remind us of. No, you can't remind me more of those, Satan. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. Simply by my faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. I said, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. To repair or restore. We're talking about redemption for you and I. To free from the consequences of sin. To change for the better. The reform, amen? To free from a lien by payment of an amount secured. He's secured. He paid it in full. To remove the obligation of the payment. To exchange for something of value. He gave us beauty for ashes. We sing about it. Amen? To atone for. To offset the bad effect of. To make worthwhile and retrieve. We are so valuable in His sight. Amen? There's nothing more valuable in the sight of God than mankind. We see what goes on in the world. Death, destruction. But that's the enemy. That's not God. That's not, God wants good things for you and I. I said, God wants good things for you and I. And it starts with redemption. So what are the antonyms for redeem? The opposite, to forfeit, to lose, to hold, to keep, to abandon, to disregard, ignore. You know, we don't want to ignore or miss out on anything that redemption has qualified us through the Spirit of God. We can be redeemed and leave a lot of things on the table that God has for us. What causes a person, a family, or nation to forfeit or lose out on God's best? It has to do with what we believe. We forfeit so much based upon what we don't understand or we don't believe or the enemy has tricked us on. But when we understand what redemption has provided for us, then we can move forward, amen, by faith. Let me just give you a few examples or scriptures. So what we believe about the Holy Spirit, this is where I am today. Now, what we believe about the Holy Spirit establishes in our heart great hope. Man, hope. Do we need hope in society today? Do young people need hope? Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through what? The Holy Spirit, who is given to us. If you know God as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. You have dunamis power. You have so much power in you. You have the power of the Creator of the world within you, the Holy Spirit. So where does this hope come from? Psyching ourselves up? Trying to do the right thing? No, it comes through the Holy Spirit. If you know Him, the Holy Spirit is our conduit to heaven. And that's where we can, with Him, giving us great hope through the Holy Spirit. Your well-being, another one, your well-being is through the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Who gives us this righteousness? Through the blood, but the Holy Spirit makes us righteous as He lives within us, able to do His will, able to conquer. Who gives us this peace and the joy? It's through the Holy Spirit. My question is, sometimes we don't access the Holy Spirit as we say, Lord, thank You for Your peace. Lord, I'm going to focus in on You with everything that's going on around this world, things that could be going around in my own family, my own struggles. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank You for Your peace. I thank You for Your strength. I thank You for Your healing. I thank You for Your blessing, because You live within me, and this righteousness and peace and joy is found in the Holy Spirit. It's in the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us peace. He's the one that gives us joy and strength. But it's tapping that, saying, thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your joy and peace that is mine regardless of the circumstances around me. Do we have circumstances around us? Number three, operating. So He wants us to be established by the Holy Spirit in hope. He wants our well-being in the Holy Spirit. And He wants us operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5 says, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. Let me tell you this, real quick, is in church, it shouldn't be just persuasive words. It shouldn't be just me giving you some points of how you can deal with something. That's not how God designed it. God didn't design it that I give you some little tidbits of wisdom so you can figure it out and have a good life. No, that's not what it is at all, because Paul says, I did not come to you in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of mankind, but on what? The power of God. The power of God working within you and I. The power of God working within a body. Understanding God's power. It's not that I can give you some little thing to tidbit to work on. Please understand that. You can be in a church. If they're just speaking about things that can help you through something, you might as well be in the Key Club. You might as well be in the Lions Club. It's got to be pointing us to Jesus Christ and His power to operate amongst us. Who's going to help you in your business? Who's going to help you in your job? Who's going to be helping you in your marriage or relationship? It's going to be the power of God. It's going to be the revelation of Jesus Christ in you, through you, which is the power of God. Amen? Operating the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. His power that works within you and I. If you know Him as your Savior, you have access to that power. Don't believe that it's up to you. Lean on him. Start asking, say, Lord Jesus, show me your power. Teach me your power. Teach me that what I have in me is all I need to defeat the enemy in my life. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but what kind of spirit has he given us? A power and love and discipline or sound mind. You're full of power. You know that power means in the Greek force, miraculous power, ability, abundance, meaning, might, mighty work, miracles. The power that you have in you, you have the capability of, believe me, because you've been redeemed, saying, Lord, I want healing in my body. I declare healing in my body. The Word of God saying, by your stripes I'm healed. Father God, your Word says that you'll meet all my needs according to your riches and glory. Father God, your Word says that you break depression off of me because you live in me. And Father God, I am going to commit my life to you knowing that it's the power within you that is putting me exactly where I am and giving me victory over my situation. It is his power. His dunamis power is working within us. Do you realize that? It's not through your wisdom or your effort. It's through his power. So we got to be reconciled by faith. It's by faith. Let me read Galatians 3, 12 through 14. Be reconciled by faith. And you and I, let's be refreshed by faith. Power of the law is not of faith. That's being a good boy or girl, right? On the contrary, the person who performs them will live by them. You can never live by rules and regulations. Listen to this. Christ redeemed. Listen to that word. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Became a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Titus 3, 5, and 6, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we did in righteousness. Listen, brothers and sisters, he saved us not on the basis of deeds of righteousness which we did, our deeds which we did in righteousness, but in accordance with his mercy by the washing and regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Allow the redemption of the Lord by faith through the Holy Spirit to refresh you. As the worship team comes right now, his redemption has gave us, we've been purchased back, has given us everything we need in Christ. That Holy Spirit that lives in you is the healer of your soul. That Holy Spirit that's in you is what untangles a mind. That Holy Spirit in you is what will defeat and drive out fear. That Holy Spirit will give you wisdom that you can operate way above your head. Lord, how did I get that? How did I get that? He gave it to you. God loves showing off in his children. I said God loves showing off in his children. Because people will say, that wasn't you. I know you. I wasn't you. What was that? That was my Jesus. You know, when we pray about situations, he is there to give us the answer. But it starts by this. Lord, I remind myself, for today, Lord, I want to be redeemed, bought back by the blood of the Lamb. As we stand up, can we stand up together? If you've this week have been felt overwhelmed, know this, through him, the victory is yours. Who fights for us? We sing about those things. We love it and it's awesome, but who fights for us? Who's our victory? Some may trust in chariots. You've heard that scripture? We'll trust in horses, trust in the wisdom of man, but we're going to put our trust in God. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit right now. So, Lord, we receive of your Holy Spirit. Just refresh us. Lord, our refreshing is not going to just come from a vacation. Our refreshing is not just going to come from some of the things that are pressing against us, Lord. No, you're going to teach us through that those things that press us to trust you, and our refreshing is going to come from within by the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe just saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that your power lives within me. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I have everything I need within me because it says you'll do far and above and beyond anything I could dream or think of. How about you? I'm going to walk in that. How about you? And as the stresses come in, I'm going to say, I have no choice. Your power is going to lead and guide me. You're going to give me every victory. You're going to give me the wisdom I need. You're going to give me the revelation I'm going to need. Those things that I'm struggling with in sin, Father, you're going to break that thing over me as I realize I'm pleasing in your sight through the blood of the Lamb. And as you put your focus on him, those things will start to dissipate. When you don't put the focus on sin, don't be sin conscious, be righteousness conscious as he is our righteousness. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you for fresh infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God. We want everything that you have for us in the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God. We thank you for bondages and chains and those things, Father, that have kept us back being broken by your power, Father God. It could happen right now. It might happen tomorrow. It could happen in the nighttime. It might happen in the morning. But as God begins to speak to you, one day you'll wake up and say, I'm different. That thing that I used to struggle with, it's not there no more. I don't know how it went. I don't know when. I don't know what the reasoning, Lord, except that I put my trust in you and that thing is broken in Jesus' name, Father. Depression, I break a spirit of depression right now in Jesus' name. You have no right to your children. If you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, depression has no right over you. You allow the enemy to convince you of things that are not true. You belong to him by the blood. It's not by what you've done. It's not by the things of your own righteousness. It's by faith that you put in him that you can say, I've been redeemed, and I tell that depression to go in Jesus' name. God doesn't want us living in depression. God doesn't want us walking in fear. If you want that, you can have it. I'm not going to have that. Lord, I thank you that you've set us free. I'm glad that I'm not waiting for him to set me free. I am free in him. For whom the Son set free is free indeed. Father God, if we'd realize that we are free in you, if we'll believe, Father God, that you've accomplished everything, nailing it to the cross, been redeemed of those things that would hang on us, we're free in you. Father, for those things that we see in the past, those things like crops, things that we've sown, that we just hang on, the things that you still see it out there. Father, we thank you that your power can break that, burn those crops down in our mind, those crops of things we've done in the past by your Holy Spirit. He says, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire burning those old memories, fire burning those old things that have held us back by the power of the Holy Spirit. Free to move on in him. I said free to move on in him. Not pulling around a ball and chain. Well, I'm just a, you know, Pastor Lee, I'm just an old sinner. No, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit this week. As you open our eyes, Lord, that we would humble ourselves. That's all we need to do. Say, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to come alive. Lord, you would teach me how to hear your voice. Did you know we can hear his voice? He speaks to us. Today, if we're going to say a prayer, if you've never accepted Christ, or if you say, Lord, I'm going to say this prayer just in my understanding of what redemption means. By his stripes I'm healed. He's removed my burden of sin. That he took what was against me as far as sin, the debt of sin, that certificate of wrongdoing, and it's been nailed to the cross. Can you see it in your mind? Nailed to the cross, saying you're free to go, child. You're free. You don't have to hang on to that anymore. The devil will want you to hang it on. He'll try to remind you through people. He'll try to remind you through whatever the tapes we play through our mind, but you just say, no, I'm free. I've been forgiven of that. That's no longer me. And this is how the victory is. It is completely by faith. It's by faith. It's believing. It's by believing. It's by believing. For the just shall live by faith. Pray with me, would you? Lord Jesus, I believe you are God. I believe you came to the earth, lived a sinless life. I believe you hung on a cross, shed your blood, put in a grave, but you rose again. I believe you're at the right hand of the Father, and you're coming again. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want everything you have for me. I want everything you have for me. I don't want to leave a drop on the table. Father, we thank you, Father. We thank you for a moving of your Holy Spirit in our lives, Father God. We thank you for filling us afresh and anew, because your word says it promises to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, your word says that the promises of Abraham now belong to us. Thank you for blessing our lives, Father God. I said thank you for blessing our lives. Jesus, thank you for your blessing upon our lives. It's okay saying, Lord, bless me. I belong to you. I belong to you. Bless me. I don't want to just do it on my own strength. Bless me. Father, we thank you for that today. We thank you for what you do in hearts when you just hear the truth. You set the captive free. And so we thank you for that today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Do you love him? Lord, we love you, Lord.